Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 5th of January, recording at 9:50 p.m. and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today. In stock markets, it was mostly some profit-taking. The majority of Asian stock markets were down a little bit, including China's A-shares, but not the Hang Seng, which had a modest gain of just under 0.5%. The Philippines surged again. It looks like the Philippines will be the first ASEAN stock market to hit a new all-time high. And in Europe, the worries over sovereign debt reared their ugly head once again, and we saw some sharp declines in the periphery countries. For instance, the Italian MIB index is down 3.65%, the Spanish IBEX down 2.94%. Declines were considerably smaller elsewhere, mostly under 1%, although the CAC 40, that's France, was down 1.5%. And we had a push higher. Well, now let me round out here in the Americas. Brazil down 1.38%, Mexico down 1%. The others are firmer, and Wall Street, interestingly, just. Wall Street, they reversed a moderate decline here to register a gain by the S&P of over 0.25%, taking it up to 1281. Now, on long-dated government bonds, I mentioned the euro sovereign debt concerns, so that pushed yields higher for the periphery, most of the periphery countries, and certainly for Spain and Italy. Elsewhere, activity was quiet, certainly in the U.S. market. I see Bund futures had one of the better gains here today. What we did see was a strong dollar, not least against the euro, which has declined to 127.90 as I speak, and is very much in an overall downward trend against most currencies. But the Australian dollar also weakened against the euro, falling back to 102.62, and sterling fell back just below the 155 level. That dollar strength reversed a precious metals decline, but then they came back, and that was impressive. They rallied. Gold rallied at any rate. It had a wide range in here today, down as low as 1597 at one stage, but closing at nearly 1622 as I speak, and that's up over $10 on the day. And silver is a little higher, platinum and palladium were a little lower. Most of the industrial metals were lower. Most of the industrial commodities in general were lower. Lumber was an exception, and tin among the metals was, beg your pardon, it would not, yes, tin. Tin showed a gain among the industrial metals, the only one to do so. Crude oil, which has surged recently on Iran-related tensions, pulled back, and we see right now WTI is at 101.31. That's down nearly $2, And the Brent is at 112.31, down over a dollar, down over a dollar 30. And most of the soft commodities are weaker, including the grain and bean complex. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, we've had some good gains since mid-December, and so we're seeing a little bit of consolidation. Maybe we had some slightly overbought, very short-term conditions. You'd see that if you looked at the stochastic indices in the library. And a number of those European indices had rallied back to their 200-day moving averages, which are for the most part still declining. And so that's still a resistance point. Now some have edged up above them, but it's still, one can expect a pause near those 200-day moving averages, as they represent, well, they're long-term or just a medium to longish term trend smoothing devices. And that's what we're seeing overall. Wall Street remains the key in terms of overall influence, and it continues to show relative strength. The Wall Street leash effect is always important. And we also in Asia, I've talked in previous months, years, of a growing China leash effect, and that's still exerting a drag, although not strongly enough to affect some of the ASEAN markets, which remain favorable, mostly, well, particularly Indonesia and and the Philippines remain in favor, I should say, about them. You know the story on monetary policy. It is very accommodative in the weaker economies, and it's becoming gradually, incrementally, less restrictive or more accommodative, depending on whether you see the glass as half full or half empty, here in the growth economies. And I expect further easing of monetary conditions in the growth economies, provided we don't see too much of a, well, provided we don't see a further rise in crude oil, which is currently overbought, in my view, but it's also in backwardation, or at least the Brent contract, which is probably the most important, is in backwardation. So again, overall, this is an environment with a concern, European concerns, growth concerns generally, China concerns. This is an environment, certainly, in which we might well see further ranging, but the monetary policy is likely to become an increasing tailwind overall, and the worst fears, the worst economic fears, are not being realized, certainly as we see from the US, and I think also in terms of the euro's survival, although they are a very, very long way from resolving the overall debt problems, and also the fiscal union will take a very long time overall. But weigh it all up, and I still feel that the prospects of sideways ranging, eventually giving way to further gains, which I've sometimes described as a melt up, is greater than a melt down. I would not like to see the mid-December reaction lows taken out. Now, they're not all that far away, understandably. That's only 3 weeks ago. But that would break the progression of rising lows, which looks like support building, base development activity for so many indices overall. Long-dated government bond prices, it's with the quantitative easing that we are seeing, and they're likely to remain firm. Those bond prices are likely to remain firm. In other words, the yield's low for the short and probably medium-term future. On a long-term basis, I maintain that they're unsustainable, but we aren't going to have significant concerns about higher interest rates until the global economy is stronger than it obviously is right now. I mentioned crude oil as a major concern. Should it spike higher again? I repeat myself from earlier audios. I think that there's a good case for seeing oil remain range bound and weakening somewhat from current levels, which have been pumped up by the Iranian fears. But if I'm wrong on that, and we get another spike back up to April's highs, let alone April of last year's highs, let alone further, and that would be extremely negative for global GDP growth, which doesn't need another inflation shock. Okay. Gold prices, or precious metal prices in general, we're locked here in a trading range in all probability. But while I've been expressing short to medium term concerns off and on ever since that August accelerated peak last year, I think it's unlikely that the long-term bull trend is over, particularly when I think about gold as a currency in a low interest rate environment, and because it's no one else's liability. In other words, you can't print more gold. That therefore, it's going to be a monetary safe haven for a number of years yet. And therefore, we should eventually see another leg to the upside. But I do not expect that to happen in the near term. Could it happen towards the end of this year? Possibly, but given the inconsistencies that we've seen in the chart action, I don't think one can be too decisive in terms of the forecasts. It's so much one can be so much more precise when forecasting when a trend is consistent and orderly, because any consistent orderly trend can only occur if that trend is upwards. It has to be a demand dominated environment. If that trend is downwards, obviously it's a supply dominated environment, and gold's choppy action shows that it has swung from a previously demand-dominated environment into something different when supply has often had the upper hand. And therefore, forecasting at this stage, following a big setback, I think that hopefully, and my strong hunch is that the downside risk is not all that much, but I don't know what to say when we're going to get the next significant move underway, and that's as honest as I can be. It would be very easy for me to join a considerable chorus out there saying, "Oh, well, it'll move upwards quite soon," but technically, I don't see the evidence here yet. And U.S. dollar still reflecting some safe haven status, and still reflecting some deleveraging generally. Oh, I mentioned the grain and bean complex, which has been really quite strong overall. We saw some weakness in here today. Two factors, I think, have been firm, and the main one has been behind the firmness. Two factors have been behind the firmness in the grain and beans up until today. The main one is the drought problems that we're seeing in South America. And so that has caused considerable concern about yields. And I believe we've had some rains within the last 24 hours, which have helped to push prices back somewhat. I'd like to see them pull back because I have it on good advice that the corn report coming out on that sort of stocks roundup for 2011, supplies roundup, coming out on the 12th, that's next Thursday, is going to contain a bullish surprise. In other words, there's going to be far less corn around than most people have previously been estimating. I get that. That information has been passed on to me. Whether or not it's true or not, I'm certainly not in a position to confirm at this stage, but it wouldn't surprise me. So I'd really like to see the price pull back because it is a little overbought and a little bit overextended, and we've only seen one day out to the downside to begin to correct that. So that's pretty much it. I look forward to Friday. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.